our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So last week, Mark talked about the revolutionary power that forgiveness has in our lives. Because Jesus Christ has forgiven us, we are compelled to forgive one another and live at peace with those around us. This is not easy, as they would say. This is a hard teaching. Because as St. Paul says, we still bear this body of death. That is, our sinful nature, which resists God's will in our lives. However, he tells us that we also carry in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. In other words, Jesus' death changes our desires so that we live out our lives contrary to the ways of the world. This is our greatest witness. As we show ourselves, as we show others that we, if you will, walk to the beat of a different drummer, they're going to see him. And when they do, we're given the opportunity to explain that we live the way we do because Christ has forgiven us and now gives us the strength to forgive others. That allows us to live in a way that brings peace and joy and hope and love not only to us, but to those that we meet. In our epistle lesson, Paul moves on to another teaching that may be as difficult as living a life of forgiveness: our relationship with the authorities placed over us by God. So how many of you normally read the editorial pages of the newspaper, or maybe a favorite magazine, or maybe online? Wow. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, all right. A couple of you. When you do you read only those that you agree with, or also those that challenge your thinking? Does the name Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity drive your blood pressure up? Or maybe it's Joy Reid or Lester Holt that make you want to pull your hair out. Although it's a year away, it's clear that we're entering another election cycle. And many of you will watch the debates of the candidates. Another group of you won't read, listen to, or watch anything that even hints of politics. I wonder if, no matter which side you may lean toward, I wonder if any of us would ever encourage our sons or daughters to go into politics. No matter where I go or who I talk to, whether it be lay people or pastors, I encounter a basic mistrust of government. It's as though most people consider government and political systems ungodly. Of course, the exception is the politician you know personally. Then it's not unusual to hear, well, he's one of the good guys. If they're one of in the congregations I've served, I've had members that were elected to public office. And if they're one of us, you probably hear something like, oh, she's one of the good ones, and she'd better be careful or she could get corrupted like all the others. Distrust of those who serve in government is so common that you might begin to think that God himself wants nothing to do with it and doesn't want his people involved in it either. But that's not the picture that Paul presents in our reading today. God actually declares that far from being disinterested in government, he is vitally interested. In fact, he establishes all authority. Really, all authority. Even those that bring hurt and pain to others? Even those who persecute God's people? And the teaching of the Bible is yes, God has established all authority. The children of Israel lived under what's called a theocracy. In other words, they looked to God and his word to direct their lives in both the civil and the political realm. And after many years, they'd grown comfortable with the God who delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh and help them to defeat seven nations to give them the land of Canaan. The Lord was their God, their national God. Surely he would never leave them, not even if they grew lazy about obeying him. But imagine their shock and outrage when Isaiah told them that God was going to use a foreign nation, the Assyrians, to punish them. Chapter 5 of Isaiah begins as a beautiful song about a vineyard that a man had planted, but it only yielded sour, wild grapes. The Lord then identifies this vineyard as his people in the land of Israel who had turned away from him. And a famous passage from this chapter is, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Because they had turned away from him, God declares that he will raise a signal for nations far away and whistle for them from the ends of the earth. And behold, quickly, speedily, they come. Isaiah says that God is going to whistle for the attention of the pagan Assyrians, saying, "Hey, over here, come and get them." And they did. And it resulted in ten of the tribes of Israel being lost to history. And a few hundred years later, Jeremiah would tell the remaining Israelites that because the leaders of the remaining tribe of Judah still refused to plead the case of the fatherless or defend the rights of the poor, God would use Babylon to destroy the daughter of Zion. God controls all the nations of the world, and he uses them, even though they don't know it or acknowledge it, to carry out his will for both blessing and bane. And Jesus even reaffirmed this. On the day of his crucifixion, Jesus surprises Pilate as he stands silent before him. And finally, Pilate asks, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." Jesus made it clear that even the pagan Roman Pontius Pilate was in his position at God's will. Now, I got to say two things right now. First of all, Peter clearly declared to the religious leaders of Israel, "We must obey God rather than men." When we have a clear directive from God, such as when Jesus declared, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," we must obey God, no matter what the consequences may be. God's explicit commands to action trump all. Second, a lot of what I'm about to say I struggle with myself. There are a number of things that God says that I have a hard time declaring to you, but I have no choice. He said it, I didn't. So don't think that I'm simply spouting my opinion here. This is what God says, and it's what he wants us to struggle with. God tells us that no matter who is in authority, be it the king of Judah, the emperor of Assyria, or the Caesar of Rome, whether it's a dictator, a monarchy, or a democracy, all authority comes from God. And since that's the case, the Apostle Paul wrote in our epistle reading, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." And this is when Christians were already being persecuted for their faith. Paul could say that because God's purpose in giving this authority is for our benefit, or for our discipline. As he wrote, "The one in authority is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." The authorities God places in power are there to punish the wrongdoer and protect those who do right. It was because the leaders of Israel and Judah were not using their authority properly, that God whistled up the Assyrians and the Babylonians. At the same time, he holds those nations accountable. Just as he allowed the Assyrians to punish the northern tribes of Israel, he used the Babylonians to punish the Assyrians, and the Babylonians were in turn punished by the Medes and the Persians. God does this because he understands humanity. Some hold the starry-eyed opinion that people can be trusted to do the right thing, and therefore government authority isn't really needed. God sees just the opposite. God sees that people are inherently sinful and will always put their own interests before the interests of others. Therefore, he gives governments authority to keep selfishness from tearing societies apart. Why does the government pass laws that require various building codes to be followed? It's because history has shown that unscrupulous builders will cut corners if it means increasing profit margins. Why are there laws against insider trading? Because people with insider information can and have manipulated stock prices to gain wealth and power. Why does the highway patrol watch our roads? Because some drivers like to drive like Vin Diesel in all 10 of the Fast and Furious movies. Can governments botch their God-given responsibilities? Certainly. Judah did. Rome did. There are all kinds of examples of this throughout history. And when they do, we like to justify our resistance to their authority because of their perceived incompetence or corruption. But the fact that governments fail isn't the only or even the main reason we resist their authority. More often than not, we resist their authority because our sinful nature doesn't like to be called to account, or because we don't like the fact that the government tells us to do something we don't want to do. God gives government authority to temper our old sinful nature, to protect you from me, and to protect me from you. But he knows that this authority can't change our nature. He knows we will act selfishly the minute we think the law isn't looking. Why do you think people buy radar detectors? But it isn't enough for God that we behave ourselves as long as we're being watched. He isn't as concerned about changed behavior so much as changed hearts. And that's why he sent Jesus into the world. He sent Jesus to bring us under the authority of a different power, the power of his love. Jesus demonstrated the power of love. We might even say the revolutionary power of love by coming to us even when we were enemies of God's authority. Instead of condemning us as we deserved, he died for us. He took the punishment the law said was rightly ours so that we might not be condemned but saved. And then he rose from the grave, breaking the law of death, to give us the opportunity to stand guiltless before our God through the gift of faith. No more bristling at the impossible demands of godly authority. No more sneaking off to do our own thing when we think God isn't looking. Forgiven in Christ, we run to God as children run to a loving Father, and we stand confident before him. As perfect citizens of this kingdom, but even more so perfect citizens of his kingdom. This love is the reason Paul appeals to our conscience to obey those in authority. As Christians, we obey not because governments may demand obedience, but because Jesus has freed us from blind slavery to selfishness and opened our hearts to loving others as he loved us. We obey because Jesus has freed us to see God's good purpose in the government. Because Jesus has freed us to appreciate that good government is godly. Now, we're fortunate to live in a society where we have some say in who rules us and how. And so we must do so, but do so very carefully, thoughtfully, and prayerfully. So we obey the authorities God has placed over us, but we also actively seek to help government be the good government God created it to be by being good citizens. In fact, as strange as it may seem, understanding this correctly, we might even encourage a son or daughter to enter politics. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the hymn.